At the end of the day, after all the things we're called to, how am I supposed to know what's good for my soul? Like, okay, I'll do it, but how am I supposed to know? The answer is, hineni, show up. Show up present for your life, for the people in your life, and for whatever God is putting in front of you. Let's unpack that a little bit.
Welcome to Consciously, a podcast focused on honest conversations for regular people seeking spiritual growth. Here's our host, Menachem Poznanski.
Hey, Consciously family, welcome back to the podcast. It's great to have you. Okay, a little bit of a bonus episode. I have a different episode I'm thinking about for next week that I was promoing last time. But, which I'm excited for, and I want to share with you, but I had a conviction to share something with you before, particularly, it's Thursday today, right before we get ready to read Parshat Vayera, in this week's portion. And there's a part of Parshat Vayera that's like very near and dear to my heart, and an opportunity to share it with a group at the Madrigos Rosh Hashanah retreat. It relates to some ideas reflected in the Akedah episode, the episode of Avraham Avinu being commanded by God to bring Yitzchak, his only son, his most precious son. He had Yishmael as well, but the one who's called his singular son, the son that reflected his light in the most significant way, and to offer him as a sacrifice, which is nuts and crazy because Avraham's whole mission in life was to battle against child sacrifice. Child sacrifice was the way of the world in those days, as the sages teach us. The whole episode of Orkastim, of the fiery furnace that Avraham Avinu's father gave him over to Nimrod, and Nimrod put him through, you know, this, I don't know, fire thing, was, Chazal teach us, the rabbis teach us, it was part of the worship of the day. People were doing that to their kids. There was an idea of child sacrifice, and Avraham Avinu was railing against idol worship and against child sacrifice. And here God comes and specifically asks him to sacrifice his child. And this is at the highest moment of Avraham Avinu's fame, right? Earlier on in the Parsha, it actually relates to the fifth portion, we hear about the day that Avraham Avinu kind of revealed Yitzchak to the world, the day that he was weaned from his mother, and he makes a party, and all the Gedolei Hador, all the great people of the generation, including Shem and Aver, were at the party. We're at this celebration where Avraham Avinu, who's now a very famous, you know, both general and holy man and a prophet, you know, is, Avimelech as well was there, is, you know, introducing the world to his son, Yitzchak, who's going to carry on his legacy. So anyway, and then God says, okay, I mean, it's right after this, V'yachar d'maila, you know, God asks Avraham to sacrifice Yitzchak. It's like, it's a wild thing. Anyway, but first, before we get there, the commercials, thank you for joining the podcast, subscribe, stars if you'd like, share us with your friends. More importantly, check us out on Light Revealed, lightrevealed.org, Instagram and Facebook if you use those things. You could check out our WhatsApp statuses as well if that's available to you, and also to our WhatsApp group. It's always working on some really, really cool stuff, actually. And we've been putting out this, like, I guess, meme, whatever's good for your soul, do that. And it seems to really resonate with people the way it resonated with me. To some degree, part of what we're going to talk about relates to that, so it's definitely topical, but it seems to really resonate to people, particularly in the circumstance that they're in, related to what we were talking about last time, about just really what I was alluding to, just the impossibility of the circumstance that we're in, and there's really no easy solution. And all these knuckleheads that are talking about, oh, we should do this, or we should do that, they're really just not coming to a place of surrender and saying this is a much more... We're really, this is much deeper than what we can solve with some human innovation. And we need, you know, we need help from above in order to solve this kind of problem practically. You know, we can do our best. We have to take measures, obviously, goes without saying. to do our best to protect ourselves and to root out evil, and to make those who are responsible for horrible things, to make them pay and to warn off other people so that they don't try the same thing. For sure, that's part of the Hishtablus, but, you know, a real solution to the problem is really beyond us. So, you know, these ideas of, you know, which reflect as a macrocosm of what we experience individually in our lives, is oftentimes we come to a place and we just don't know what to do. There's two good answers, or there's no good answers. And we have to try to uncover what is good for our soul. Not what's good for us, not what we want to do, not what feels good. People have been misunderstanding that. Not what makes me excited, not what makes me spiritually elevated, but what's inherently good for my soul. Because whatever is good for my soul is good for my body. And whatever is good for my soul is good for my family, and it's good for those who love me. That's what the whole idea of that proverb is the realization that the focus, if I can uncover the answer to the question of what is good for my soul in this moment, which is ultimately reflected, as we're going to talk about in a moment, in what's going on right now, and right in front of you in this moment, it gives you a certain pathway, I strongly believe, into being able to take one step forward and allow your feet to direct you, as David HaMelech encourages us in Tehillim. So check that, all those things out. You can email us, lightrevealed@tlrfamily.org. Okay, all the things. Okay, so, okay, to see it suck. V'yachar d'rima ela, v'ha Elokim nisas Avraham v'yomer, I love Avraham v'yomer hineni. There's one word that you find reflected in this little portion. You see it in other areas of the Torah, but it's repeated at excess in this portion, which is the word Hineni. God calls to Avram, and Avram says Hineni. Yitzchak calls out to Avram, and he says Hineni. The Malach calls out to Avram, and he says Hineni. There's constantly this reorientation back to Hineni. Hineni means I'm here. Which, or more probably actualized or accurate, you know, Hineni, I'm ready to show up. I'm ready for my missionhood. I'm ready for my shlichus. I'm ready to fulfill whatever you ask of me. Whatever you want, your will, not mine, be done. That's Hineni. It's not just like I'm here, but it's like I'm here present in a place of bittul. What can I do? How can I help you? So all the commentators observe that there's a little bit of a question here, because, you know, Akedas Yitzchak, first of all, Jews repeat the occurrence of Akedas Yitzchak every day. We talk about it incessantly. It's definitely seen as like the seminal moment of the establishment of the Jewish people. There are many commentaries that discuss why it's so impactful. But one of the questions it's asked is like, what's, so to speak, the big deal, meaning God came to Avram Avinu and told him to do something, to sacrifice Yitzchak. Like, if God came to me, maybe not me, because I'm a knucklehead, but if God came to some other tzaddik and said, do this, he would do it, you know, probably, right? So, like, why are we so enamored by Avram Avinu's willingness to carry out the Akedah? At the end of the day, for sure, it was embarrassing. It would have been, you know, a fall from grace for Avram Avinu, who was so respected and regarded. But you think Avram Avinu is the singular figure that stands at the foundation stone of all human religion, the father of moral monotheism. You know, it's like, you think he cared about everyone's opinion of him? If he cared about everyone's opinion of him, he wouldn't have left Lech Lecha Mi'artzecha Mi'ladecha Mi'beis Avicha. You know, he doesn't care. He just wants to carry out God's will. So why is it so powerfully impressive? So many commentaries give different answers. Some talk about the zrizus of Avraham Avinu, his alacrity. He woke up early in the morning, right? And he did it anyway. I mean, it's not just that he did it, but he didn't do it in a conflicted way. Others talk about the way in which the Satan, the evil forces of the universe, confused him, and Avraham Avinu wasn't sure what he was supposed to be doing, and he was just kind of following his conviction. Different, or like, no, Avraham Avinu was the Ish Chesed. He was the man of Chesed. And for him to sacrifice his son, even if God told him to, was not such an easy thing, right? That it wasn't so, that it is very ultimately impressive. All of those answers. There's an answer that I encountered that really, I don't know that it supersedes any of the other like logical answers, but from a spiritual perspective of trying to live as an emotionally sober person in the world and the insanity that we live in today, you know, it just has had a tremendous effect on me. So, and what this idea is that the greatness of Akedas Yitzchak is not so much the fact that Avraham Avinu was willing to do the Akedah of Yitzchak, he was willing to sacrifice Yitzchak, but the way in which he carried himself in that process exemplified the beauty of Avraham Avinu, and two particular things, and really is what enamors Avraham Avinu and all of his descendants to God, because he created a very special, powerful spiritual portal. So then part of what we're uncovering in the story of Akedas Yitzchak is not just the cold fulfillment of a divine command to a servant, but rather an opportunity to gain an understanding, to gain an opening into the heart of our forefather, of this greatest human who ever was, right? This seminal figure in all of history that just began this journey towards humanity's desire to live with the only one, with the highest power, and reflect that light. So what is that? What's that portal into the soul of Avraham Avinu? So it comes in the word Hineni. So right, the portion starts off, Yihyeh Acharei Dvarim Ha'eleh, as we already said, Elokim Nisah Es Avraham Vayomer Elav, Avraham Vayomer Hineni. God comes to Avraham and he says, Hineni. Now that's not so shocking. God comes to you and talks to you and you say, I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do. Okay, maybe it's shocking for me, but it's not shocking for Avraham. But it goes to the character of Avraham, whatever you want, God. And God says, Kach Na'az Bincha Sichidcha, take your son. V'haleo Sham Lo'ela, Alacha Dahar Masher Amar Alacha, Vayashkim Avraham Abokar, he gets up right away. He says, take your son to the mountain over there and sacrifice him. So Avraham gets up in the morning and he takes everything that he needs to take. And then Bayom HaShlishi, the scripture continues. Bayom HaShlishi, Vayisa Avraham Esenav, Avraham lifts his eyes, Vayaras Hamako Merachok, and he sees the place from afar. Vayomer Avraham El Na'arav, and Abraham turns to the people that are with him. He says, Shvu Lachem Po Machamor, stay here with the donkey. Vani Anar Nechad Ko, and me and the child are going to go, me and the boy are going to go, until there, V'nishtachava, and we'll worship, V'nashuva Aleichem, we'll come back to you. Right, so Avraham is not revealing the reality of what's going on. Vayikach Avraham es atzei ha'ola. So Avraham Avinu takes the wood. Vayasem al Yitzchak beno, when he places it upon Yitzchak, he invites Yitzchak into his journey. Vayikach biyado es ha'esh v'samachelos, and he takes the fire and the knife. Vayelchu shneim yachdav, and they walk together. Which is a language is also repeated here that I believe is connected. Just from that, when I encountered this idea, it seems like they're connected. Also, the togetherness of Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu going together into this perilous place. Anyway, so the passage continues, and this is where it gets really interesting, because we know that the Torah doesn't use any extra words, and there's a very singular dialogue that occurs between Avraham and Yitzchak here that's not necessarily the norm. Dialogue between humans in general is not like the most common thing. Mostly it's dialogue. It's either a narrative of a story or it's dialogue between God and a person, either God and Abraham, God and Yitzchak, God and Yaakov, or God and Moshe, right? But you do have some areas of dialogue. It's not significant. But over here you have a very, like, very specific description of a dialogue that occurs between Avraham Avinu and his son Yitzchak, who he loved the most in the whole universe, who was his spiritual heir. And it really shows you such a powerful thing. And as I personally have opened my heart to this, it's given me such a sense of, like, comfort and also something to move towards. We talk about the idea of trying to carry out the way of Avram Avinu into our lives. This is who Avram Avinu was. Forget like the, for, putting aside for a moment, don't forget, but putting aside for a moment like the big things that he did. But this is who he was as a father. And this is who he was at a father in a moment when he was utterly focused with such alacrity on fulfilling the will of God in a matter of doing something that was opposite his very identity and being, that ran contrary to every impulse, right? So he's pumped up. He's all worked up. He's passionate. He's forcing himself. He's directing himself to fulfill the last thing you would think he would do in the world. And then see the conversation that he has with his son, which is, it's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. It's a revelation of a way of being, of a humanism that's like, it's so beautiful. Because we can all look inside of us, and if we had a mission that we felt uncomfortable with, but we knew that we had to do, we might do it. But like, if anyone got in our way, if anyone wanted to like stop and ask a question, we'd be like, I don't have time for your questions. Just stop. I don't have time for your questions. Like, this is what we're doing. I need you to just trust me. Or ignore the person completely. But that's not what happens here. Vayomer Yitzchak al Avraham Aviv. Yitzchak says to Avraham, Aviv. It's an extra word because we know Avraham, of course, is his father. Vayomer Yitzchak al Avraham Aviv. Yitzchak says to Avraham, his father. I mean, he spoke to his father. He wasn't speaking to Avraham Avinu, the tzaddik yisoid olam, the greatest man of the generation, the thought leader of that society, right? He was a great prophet and a military leader. He wasn't talking to that. He was talking to Avraham Avinu, to Avraham Aviv. Vayomer Avi. And he said, Abba, right? Vayomer Avi. He said, Abba. He said, Daddy. Vayomer. And Avraham answers back Yitzchak in the same way that he answers God. Vayomer Hineni Bini. He said, Tatala, what can I do for you? Sweetheart, what can I do for you? My son, stroking his cheek. I know you're scared. What's going on? Tell me. Tell me what's going on. I can put aside all of this stuff. God himself, right? Avraham saddles his own donkey, but Yitzchak wants to talk to him. And instead of disassociating, which would have been the easiest thing in the world to do when he's about to slaughter Yitzchak, when he thought he was supposed to, he turns to him and he's emotionally present. And he says, Vayomer Hineni Bini. He says, here's the fire and the wood. Where's the sheep that we're going to slaughter? Avraham, and Avraham says, he says, my dearest child, right? Adds the word bini in there again, which is very extra because we know that Yitzchak is Avraham's son. It just said that 10 seconds ago, right? But it says, because so this is not informational. This is actually a description of the dialogue. Vayomer Avraham Elohim yirelo has lo haselo la bini v'yelchu shneim yachdav. He said, God's going to show us, son. He's going to show us. I know you're having a hard time. I know it's scary. I know you don't have answers. God will show us the way. What we have to do is take the next right step. And v'yelchu shneim yachdav. And Yitzchak is able to walk forward. All of his confusion, all of his doubts, all that didn't make sense, suddenly becomes inconsequential. And he can walk forward in faith. Sometimes we tell other people, like, just have faith, it's going to be okay. But like, if we're not really meeting them where they are, if we're not saying hineni bini, then saying that to someone, have faith, doesn't mean anything. But when you meet somebody where they are, where you invite in somebody into your life and they say, Hineni, Hineni, I'm right here. And then you say, listen, we don't have answers. I don't know what's going to be. I don't know what we're going to do with Gaza. I don't know. But God will show us the path. We have to have faith. There's a higher power. We're going to have faith. I'm not denying. I'm not saying that you're not allowed to feel the way you feel. I'm not saying your confusion is bad. Your confusion is good. You're asking a good question. But let's move forward in faith. Let's do the next right thing. Let's do what's good for our soul. And if we do what's good for our soul right now, everything else will work itself out. If we just do what God said, we need to go up there. That's what God is calling us to. That's what's good for our soul. It doesn't make sense. It's confusing. It seems antithetical to everything that we know is right and just. Everything that we know is right and just. It seems utterly antithetical. But let's just trust God. Let's just do our part. Let's do what's good for our soul. Let's do that. And God will take care of the rest. So this is what it means to be an Avram Avinu, to show up present in your life, in someone else's life, to say Hineni. And the way, in the manner in which there's a part of us inside that's Avram Avinu and there's a part of us that's Yitzchak. This is not just talking about the way we talk to our kids or to other people or people that we are mashpia to, people that we are giving to, but also the way in which we talk to our own inner child that's screaming out in confusion, I don't understand what's going to happen in the world, what am I going to do? And the best thing to do is to say, Hineni b'ni. God will show us the way. We're doing our part. God will show us the way. And the truth of the story is that it plays out perfectly. Plays out perfectly. Avram Avinu, Hashem didn't tell Avraham to slaughter his son. He said to bring him up as a sacrifice, and Avram Avinu fulfills that. Even though it seems confusing, that's what the story reveals. The story reveals that God never wanted to actually slaughter Yitzchak. He only tells him to bring him up as a korban, right? And Avram fulfilled that. So then he said, stop, right? Stop right now. And what's really powerful about the story is that the story ends, the Malach says, so, Vayomar Atashach Yarecha, Vayikra Allah Malach Hashem and Hashemayim, Vayomar Avram, Avram, Vayomar Hineni. So, Avram Avinu is about to slaughter Yitzchak, and an angel of God comes from Shemayim and says, Avram, Avram. He has to call to him twice because Avram is so intensely involved in his service. Vayomar, and what does Avram say? Hineni, I'm here. Okay, I won't do it. Don't do anything to the child. Now we know that you're truly fearful. You're a true God-fearing person, meaning you put God first. And that even we've proven to the world that it's not about Avram Avinu getting a son, but it's about Avram Avinu carrying out the light of God and handing over his destiny to his children. So then what happens is the story is over now. Meaning Avram, the journey is finished. But then there's something else that happens. It's very, very powerful. In the 13th passage, in chapter 22, it says, Vayisa Avram es eino v'yar v'hinei ayol achar nachaz b'savach b'karnav. Avram looked up his eyes and he sees that there's a ram who's trapped by its horns in the thistles. And he grabs the ram and he makes it into a korban. And that's the ram, that's the shofar that we blow. That's why we blow a shofar, to remind it of this. And really, this perspective explains that this is the greatness of Avram Avinu. It's not any of those things, but the fact that he was able to be present and the fact that he had fulfilled the mission of bringing Yitzchak as a korban but not slaughtering him. But he wanted to bring, the commentators explain, that desire, that intention into actuality. So he goes and he takes the ram and he does what he can. Even though, meaning he knew that he wasn't supposed to slaughter Yitzchak, but he wants to bring that energy into a physical form. So he takes the ram and he makes it into a sacrifice. And then the Malach comes again. The Malach comes, V'yikra Malach Hashem al Avram Shenis min Hashemayim. The Malach comes again. And what's promised? Then, because you did this thing, Esadavar Azeh, to bring the ram, which means to be present, to not forget, to not move on, to not just fulfill whatever you could do, but rather to fully do whatever is good for your soul. Do that because you're willing to continue to do. And even if you're not doing like the best thing, you're willing to do the best that you can because of that. So then we get all the blessings. Okay, varecha, varecha, v'harba, v'zarecha, you will be blessed like the stars of the sea and like the sand in the ocean. That's v'his baruchu b'zarecha kol ha'aretz. And not only that, not only will your children be blessed, but rather all the nations of the world will be blessed through them. That the Jewish people gain this special missionhood. It's not just that the Jewish people are the most blessed. It's that we are the channel through which the blessings come to the whole world. God wants to send blessings to every human on the planet, to every being on the planet, and the Jewish people are the chariots of that blessing. That is our focus, and the only way that we become worthy vessels of that is by saying Hineni, by showing up and doing whatever is in my power right now in this moment to be who God is calling me to be right now in this mitzvah, in this moment, to do a mitzvah, whatever that is, to do a mitzvah, to do whatever is being called to me in this moment. And even if it's not what seems to be the best, it's the best that I can, and that's more than anything that's ever necessary. All the best.
Thank you for joining the Consciously family. Consciously is brought to you by The Light Revealed. a social media publisher bringing messages of Jewish spirituality and recovery to whoever is looking for them. Consciously is made possible by the kindness of the Capellius family in memory of Tzipora Bas Ravaram. If you've enjoyed this podcast, you can give us a review and subscribe wherever else you get your podcasts. We love connecting with you, so please check out our website, thelightrevealed.org. Feel free to email us at thelightrevealed@tlrfamily.org. Our producer is Morty Schwartz. Our social media content team is Zoe Poznanski and Tehilo Nassanian. The assistant to the regional co-host is Shmaya Honickman, and our music is by Eitan Katz featuring Zusha. Thank you for joining, and we wish you the most blessed day in only revealed ways.